copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
I'm really glad to be with you guys today. My name is Christy Williams, like Rob had said, and I live with my family in Ukraine. I have been a missionary there not for 20 years, but for 13, and I want to show you a picture of my family. I'm just waiting for the sharing to come up, and I just have to get this happening here. Hold on 1 second. Okay. So today, in this second session, we're going to talk about Jesus's five phases of ministry. And let me just tell you a few things about things that I love, because when I think about this training, it's one of my favorite things to teach, honestly, and I'm not just saying that. I love the material because we look at Jesus, we look to the Bible, we look in Scripture, in the Gospels, and say, what did Jesus do? When did he do it? With whom did he do it? And then we try and repeat that or apply that to our own ministry context. And when we're working with young people, we recognize Jesus was also working with young people. And so it's incredibly relevant, every single thing he did with his disciples. And we call these different things he did different phases of ministry. And this session is called What Got You Here Won't Get You There, because the phase of ministry that you were in is probably different from the one you're in today. And where you're trying to get to is different from what you're doing today as well. So let's look to Jesus for some answers about these different phases. So yes, I said there are five phases of ministry, but let's just begin with three. And I want you to think about your own situation, okay? Are you just starting out? For example, you just became the main youth leader. Your pastor asked you if you would do this role for a while. Or maybe you're a part of like a small church plant and you recognize it's time for you to take some new responsibility. Maybe you're just starting. Or maybe you've been in ministry for a while, but it's time to grow your team. You recognize that you need a team around you. You can't just do it by yourself. And so you're training your key leaders to be effective in ministry. You have some programs, some plans, or you might be in more of an expanding phase where you're thinking about growth. You're doing a lot of outreach events, you're fishing for people, and you're hoping that you can grow. You want more leaders, you want more people. These are all different examples of different phases, and what you do in one is really different from what you do in another. And I also just want to right away address the fact that coronavirus, honestly, the quarantine has been helping us realize where is our ministry really. And remember, as we talk about Jesus's phases, this is your whole youth ministry. Okay, so we're not just thinking about one person, or we're not just thinking about you as a leader. We're really thinking about everyone in the group. And Corona has shown us, right, that some main leaders have just fallen apart. They're ready to leave the ministry. It's been too hard. Or some people's teams have fallen apart and people have left the team during this coronavirus. Other people have said, where are all the youth and all those young people that you enjoyed seeing face to face? Now you can't find them at all. And they're not interested in joining you on Zoom or online. Now that's the negative side. Of course, there is a positive side. And we're also seeing that some ministries are saying, hey, the leader's doing okay. The team has stayed together and there are young people who are coming. People are growing. Even in my own youth group, we're doing a lot more Bible study now because we can't do so many other programs. And it's causing young people to grow in their faith. But I just wanted to address the fact that Corona has maybe shown you a little bit more of a realistic picture of how your whole ministry is really doing. Well, when we think about Christ's phases, I want us to begin with the end in mind. So as you see on my slides, I have two maps. On the left map, we have Europe, some of Northern Africa, the Middle East. we see this black arrow pointing to Jerusalem, to Galilee, and that's the place where Jesus began this whole thing that we call youth ministry today. As Terry already covered, we talked about the Great Commission and that our main command is to make disciples. And as we really think about Jesus's life and what happened at the end and what he started, it is unbelievable that from one small group of followers, Christianity spread all the way across these maps that you see in one generation. If we look at the right-hand picture, right, look at that. If you picture that as being the gospel is just going forth so quickly, so multipliable, it's amazing. And so as you think about it, what might happen in our generation if we continue to do what Jesus did? It's pretty exciting. But before we can look at the phases of ministry, we have to get one thing first, which is looking at the timeline of Jesus's life. So we believe that Jesus is our model. He is our model for life and for ministry. We know he was born around 4 BC. Why? Because that's around when Herod died. And we know Jesus was alive, like his birth took place before Herod died. Then we count out from scripture 33 years. And so this is kind of the approximation of his life. We also see these key years, 26 AD, 27, 28, 29. And we put these on here because these are the years of his active public ministry. Before he was 30, his ministry was quite private. But then he goes public, and scholars look at the different date of the Jewish festivals, the Jewish holidays, Passover. And most of all, they look to Luke chapter 1, where Luke tells us that the goal of his gospel was to write a chronological, orderly account for excellent Theophilus. So we believe that the gospel of Luke pretty much lays out what Jesus did and in what order. That's where we get this idea. This is the background for five phases, okay? So hopefully you're curious to see what these are. So let's begin. This is a picture that you're going to see five times because we have five phases. Let me talk you through what it is. So let's start on the right-hand side. Phase, so that's the name of the phase. So at the bottom, you see preparation, phase one. And then on the left-hand side, you see time. How long was Jesus doing this? So the time for phase one is about 30 years from when he was born until he entered public ministry. And this is the preparation of a leader. Every phase has a couple key words, and here the key words are character, calling, and empowerment. And if we read the Gospels, especially at the beginning, during Jesus' life at this time, we see he had perfect character, he was growing in character, he had a calling from God the Father, he had a mission, and he was empowered at his baptism by the Holy Spirit. And these are key things about Jesus. And then we have to think about ourselves. So my next slide, I have five of these also. And these are showing you the name of the phase, the three key words of the phase, but also the most important questions. What do we observe about Jesus? And what does this mean for my ministry? So how do we see Jesus preparing when we read the Gospels about his life at this time? And think about your main leader. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's not you, but how is that main leader's calling, character, and empowerment? And as I weave my own story in, 2 years ago, we did a church plant. We recognized that we didn't have a young leader who was ready to lead the youth ministry, so the elders asked if I would do it. So I've been the main youth leader at my church for the last year, and I recognized that, wow, my calling, my character, and my empowerment are really important, because if I go back to the phases, do you see how these phases are built one upon another? If your main leader doesn't have character, calling, or empowerment, it's going to be really hard to build on top of that. So this is really key. Okay, but let's keep going. Phase two, we see its name is foundations. So another foundational piece. We see that the name of this phase is also, it reminds us of a healthy core. Core is the center of something. So this is your team. your ministry team, the leaders that you're investing in. On the left, we see 1.5 years. And as we read about Jesus's ministry, we see that his first year and a half, as he went out into the public, it was very relational. It was very focused on meeting the disciples, on traveling with them, and actually recorded in this phase, if you read the chronology, very few miracles, very few things that would draw attention on him. So he was doing lots of relationship stuff. So you see here, 6 priorities. So if you're in this phase, you're going to be thinking about your team, and you're going to ask yourself, do we have good relationships? Do we have love for the lost and for the world? How are we doing with God's word? Because Jesus was always about God's word. How are we doing in prayer? Jesus was always about prayer. Are we casting enough vision? And do we have the proper understanding of Christ? And these are the main priorities. And so, of course, if we look at observations about Jesus, how do we see Jesus model these 6 priorities? And then you think about your own ministry. How is your team doing with these 6 things? Is your team strong in prayer and Bible and understanding Jesus? Does your team have vision? How are the relationships inside of your team or outside to the world? You might be weak in some of these things or maybe strong. As I think about my own team, I have a group of more experienced leaders, and then I have a brand new group of young Christians. They've only been Christians for about a year. And so we're going to start doing this training soon because I really want them to build these things into our new team that we just got a couple months ago. Okay, phase 3 and 4. I would say this is a little bit, for me personally, the most, it's not complicated, but it is 2 phases kind of together. So you see phase 3 is called equipping, and that's ministry training. That's when Jesus was training the 12. And also you see, I forgot to mention this. At the top, it says focus. That's who did Jesus focus on? So when he was a leader, he focused on himself. When he was building his team, he was focusing on the 12. And in ministry training, you see him focusing on the 12. But in the next phase, phase 4, which is expansion in evangelism, we see Jesus focusing on all of his followers. And we know there's at least 72 that were capable of going out and doing evangelism. So we watch Jesus. He has eyes on himself as a leader, eyes on his core, but also eyes on his whole youth group, let's say, eyes on his whole following. And he's doing a few things. If you look at ministry training, your 3 keywords are teach, act, and reflect. We know Jesus. He was always doing 3 things: teaching, healing, casting out demons. Those were his favorite. That's his top 3 for sure. And as he's doing those things, he's modeling them for the disciples. And then he's helping them learn how to do these things. And he's giving them space for them to kind of practice, them to try out doing the things that Jesus did. And then, of course, they always are getting together and they're always talking. You know, they say that guys aren't that talkative, but I imagine that Jesus and his disciples were just, they're talking nonstop all the time about what Jesus is saying and doing, and they're practicing it together. And then let's move up. Now, you notice that these 2 phases, 3 and 4, are connected by a dotted line. Why the dotted line? Because these 2 phases are kind of like a cycle. Jesus would teach them, and they'd go out, and they'd act, and then they'd come back. But at the same time, he was always talking about evangelism and a heart for the world. And so you see that CPR, these 3 words, cultivate, plant, and reap. This phase 4 is when they were fishing for men. They were going out on all these little mission trips, whether they were going to Capernaum or to the Galilee or to Judea, to Samaria, to Jerusalem, to the Decapolis. They were going all over the place. They were practicing the things of Jesus, but they were also praying and saying, God, where are we supposed to share the gospel? They were very sensitive as they were being set out. Who's going to accept our message? Then they would share, they would plant the seeds of the gospel, and then they would reap the harvest, that there would be fruit from sharing Christ. And these 2 phases kind of go together in a cycle. Right now, my young youth group is at this place. And so we're doing a lot of evangelism training with them and helping them to share their story, to share God's story, and to have a heart that's looking for lost people. If we look at the questions, how did Jesus prepare his followers for outreach? He was preparing his whole big group for this. And how is your youth group equipped to reach out? Do your young people know how to share their story? Are your young people praying for their lost friends and looking for places to plant the gospel? And are you seeing fruit? I know it can be frustrating when you don't, but how are they doing? Are they equipped? And are they evangelizing others? And that is phases 3 and 4. Now we go to what we meant when we said have the end in mind, and that is phase 5, multiplication. This is the phase that gets me most excited. So you figure Jesus was teaching them how to fish for men, and this is the phase where you have so many people in your youth group fishing for men, new people are coming in that you recognize, and your leaders are growing, that you recognize, wow, we need to do these 3 words. We need to restructure the group because we have so many capable leaders that we need to open up new ministries. And you, as the main leader, realize, wow, I need to entrust my leaders to lead their own ministries. Oftentimes it remains under your care, under your leadership. Now, sometimes your leaders might go off. They might, for example, plant a new church. Or maybe they start a rock choir like Terry talked about. Maybe they do a volleyball outreach. Maybe they do a homeless ministry. Those are all ministries that can be underneath your umbrella of church or of youth ministry. And you have leaders in place. And those leaders have their own team. And those teams are learning how to share the gospel. And suddenly, you're trusting them, you're restructured so everybody has a place to serve, but you're still supporting them. You're side by side watching how all this is going. And we see Jesus do this. If you look at the time, we see that 6 to 9 months, Jesus was training and expanding, but he always had the end in mind. He was thinking, oh boy, I am going to the cross and I don't have much time. I have a year and a half to make sure that by God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, these 12 apostles and these 120 who have been in my flock, in my group, that they're ready. Because as we see, Jesus dies, raises again, goes up to the Father, and suddenly, boom, the book of Acts happens. And we see the gospel going out everywhere. We see the disciples scattered. And it's really amazing what they were able to do because they had all this training and because they had God's anointing and God's power. Now, I've been a part of a multiplying ministry, and it happened just as I told you. We appointed 8 younger leaders, and those leaders had their own teams, and we saw a real period of fruit. Now, a lot of times, not every ministry gets to the multiplication phase because a lot of times people don't even know that that's what they're supposed to be doing. And so there's different troubles that come as you realize that your youth group, maybe why do you exist and is your goal multiplication? There's a lot of great stuff to talk about here. So the key words you see, as you look to Jesus, if you read the Gospels, you're going to see how Jesus entrusted them. He supported them as they tried to do their own ministry and teach and do miracles and go on missions trips. And Jesus restructured them as well because his time was short. And my question for you is, maybe you have leaders who are ready to be released to multiply. Are you thinking about how you're going to do that for them? And what's that going to look like for your church? Start with these questions, because this is a little bit, you have to go back to go forward. So do these 5 phases even make sense to you? Does what I said even make sense? What questions do you have? Okay. Number 2, begin with the end in mind. Remember, that's that multiplication. What do you think about multiplication? Have you ever really even thought that that's the reason why your youth ministry exists? To multiply the gospel, to make disciples, but also multiply leaders? Is that your end game? Why or why not? And number three, do you understand where you are as a youth ministry? And what does your group need right now? Those questions are going to really help you apply Jesus's five phases and know what to do next and how to work your way through all of the phases.